This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Circus Flora dazzles audiences with its one-ring artistry, acrobatics, and creativity. Generations of Wrapped fans hold memories of shows performed under Circus Flora's big top tent wherever it has stood. This year's season, called Marooned, begins this evening with a peanut-free preview, and the opening performance is Saturday. This season runs through June 23rd. Jack Marsh is Circus Flora's artistic director and executive director, and he joins us now. Also with us is Cecil McKinnon, who is the longtime narrator of Circus Flora performances. She portrays Yo-Yo, the storyteller, the ringmaster who guides audiences through each show. Welcome to both of you to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Jack, I'd like to start with you. Each year, Circus Flora has an original production. And a couple years ago, the caves beneath St. Louis was the setting. Now, this year's production is called Marooned, and the setting for it is completely different from anything subterranean. Tell us about it, Jack.
Marooned is set on an exotic desert island in the middle of an unnamed ocean. But it's a magical island on which two pirates find themselves marooned, and they're both in search of treasure. And there they encounter all sorts of amazing, weird, wacky people, animals, and so forth, and on their way to getting this treasure.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we go any further, people who aren't familiar with Circus Flora might be imagining a three-ring circus. So how is it that Circus Flora is different, Jack?
I think the intimacy of Circus Flora really sets it apart, and I think is part of what makes it so special. It's something where it's a big tent, big enough to fit just barely a flying trapeze and other, you know, giant circus equipment in there. So you get all of that excitement, but you're really right next to the action. Everything is within, you know, either right next to you or within 20 feet of you. It's this visceral experience of seeing these incredible things happening. You're watching, you know, people do the most amazing things and seeing how hard it is, seeing the sweat dropping from their forehead,
right.
seeing their muscles expand from whatever. You know, it's depending on what you're watching, it's just so amazing to be so close to the action.
Right. It's like the difference between, is this trickery or is it just mastery?
Yeah, it's a very analog experience. You know, it's as real life as you get, because you're able to sort of take in that these are real people who are doing just things that seem otherworldly, or, you know, if you were watching them on TV, you might think there was a trick to them. But
right.
No, you're having this experience in real life, not on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what really draws families to it.
Mm-hmm. Cecil, you portray Yo-Yo, mm-hmm. the storyteller, mm-hmm. always wonderfully costumed, white-faced
mm-hmm.
clown. Now, during the performance, what is your job?
Well, I direct the show, and so during the performance, I'm telling the story, bringing acts on and off, watching to make sure everything is in place,
mm-hmm.
Adding things if something's not in place.
Sure.
I mean, some text or something. Together, Jack and I write the show, so we are constantly working on that. And coordinating, we have an incredible team, set designers, lighting designer, costumes designer, working with us.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it a pretty large team working on the show.
Right. So to what extent, Cecil, is improvisation then part of what you do?
Well, improvisation is a major part of what we do, but then we firm it up so that it changes, but it's got a kind of a structure to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as is the way most people perform improvisation,
right.
is you improvise, you find what you like, you start discarding what you don't like, and you keep, hopefully, and then you change a bit. It's
right.
not exactly the same every show because it's live, you know. Everything's slightly different all
mm-hmm.
the time. Maybe there's a different reaction. Maybe something else happens
right.
that you didn't expect.
Now, Cecil, you have a background, obviously, in circus, mm-hmm. but also in Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Shakespeare is certainly known for comedy, which is part of what happens.
That's where circus clowns come from, is Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. The first clowns were speaking Shakespeare in early American circus and in Britain. Mm-hmm. The French have, the Europeans had a different tradition, but that's where our tradition of circus comes mm-hmm. from, is actually from Shakespeare.
So there's not much of a leap there.
It's about the same. I mean, and always with Shakespeare, if you're directing Shakespeare, you're like, what's next? Oh, a whole new group, come on.
Okay.
That's right. It's just like circus.
Right. So let's talk about some of the acts this season.
Yes.
So in many respects, the circus is a family affair. And there are the Flying Walendas on the high wire. I remember seeing them last year. Tell us about the Flying Walendas, Jack.
Well, they've been in the circus biz for more than 200 years. At Circus Flora this year, you'll see their 6th and 7th and 8th generations all up on the high wire together. From Tino, the patriarch and grandfather, to his son Alex and his daughter-in-law Claire. And then Mateo is there, Alex and Claire's 5-year-old, who's up on the high wire this year. So it's this multi-generational thing. And it's really, you know, to me, I love this wonderful parallel between our audience experience and often our audience's families. We get a lot of grandparents bringing their grandchildren or you know, multi-generations coming all at once, and getting to sort of see our performers experiencing their family, albeit in their very unique way.
Right.
But having this parallel between everyone's experience, I just think that it adds so much to what it is to come to Circus Flora.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of family acts, we haven't yet mentioned that we have family in this very room. Cecil and Jack, you are mother and son.
Yes.
Cecil, what is it like to work alongside your child now, you know, fully grown adult, but to work with your son?
Well, it's been a long process. When he was 8 is the first time that I thought, the person I was working with dropped out, and I thought, what am I going to do? And then Jack took it on. And that was juggling, but he's always been able to envision things from an early age. And then he had another career, which he left to come back to circus. And I was frankly a little frightened for him because it's a very uncertain life. But he has expanded and made it his own. And he is my authority now, not
right.
me.
Oh,
it's him.
Okay. So. And I understand, Jack, you were in a different kind of circus in New York as a corporate attorney.
Yeah, that was the other career that my mom mentioned.
Right. So some high wire and juggling in different ways. You know, degrees from Harvard, University of Wisconsin. But these roots in the circus, I mean, go back to, as your mother said, when you were very young, even when you were first learning to walk. So when you were 2... You debuted, right?
That's right. Yeah, Circus Flora was founded in 1986. I was born in 84. So when Circus Flora started, we were both there from the beginning. I was 1 and a half or so.
He was in his stroller, except when he got on a horse.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Yeah, but then you know, growing up around circus and the back lot of Circus Flora, it's you know, you're very inspired as a kid to see all these people doing amazing things. You're part of a circus. And what's so great about the culture of circus is everyone is so generous with their time and their skills and really want to train and teach the next generation. So if you show any willingness or interest in learning, there's always somebody to kind of take you under their wing. And so I grew up learning to juggle and do acrobatics. And mm-hmm. that's always been such a core part of me.
Yeah. So then growing up in the circus, how did that sort of inform maybe your sense of what family is?
Well, I think it's something that I now have a couple young kids of my own, and it's something that I think is, especially for young kids, it's a total dream. Like you're in living in a trailer with your family and you're sort of working all together and you're kind of are living the same life. And I just think it's something that, you know, it's such a fantasy for a reason, and getting to live it is pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. So I noted your title, It's artistic director, but also executive director. And you've held that position for just over a year. We talked about it last year.
Yeah.
How is that going? You know, and is there like a Circus Flora concession treat that your experience is most comparable to?
It's going great. I mean, I love all things Circus Flora. And for me, you know, my what I love about my job is that it's, you know, I get to work with Cecil and with the rest of our team and with all the performers on the show and on our product, but then also get to, you know, spend the other part of my brain on our fundraising and our ticket sales and marketing. Like, it's something that really, you know, it's something that takes up the whole of the brain, figuring out how to make a circus, sell it to a modern audience, make it great, let people come experiencing it. All those different facets all kind of weave together.
Right.
I have no idea what treat is analogous to that. How about popcorn? There's a lot of different things that go into it, like little kernels of popcorn.
Right. Well, Cecil, you were saying that it is an uncertain business.
Yeah.
So what is it that you're experiencing now as a parent and child that feels, you know, especially rewarding that you maybe did not experience before?
Well, I feel really lucky that to be here, seeing Jack take over, experiencing that is great. And also starting to be guided by his own artistic choices in terms of acts and knowledge of the breadth of our industry, which is not a huge industry, but which is Europe. And I mean, there's a lot going on and new generations of performers. So that it's extremely satisfying to work with a new generation who really care as much as we did.
Right.
It is so much fun.
Yeah.
I love them.
Speaking of fun, we have talked about the Flying Walundas already, but Jack, is there another act that you're particularly excited about this season?
Wow, I'm so excited about all of the acts in this show because they're all really wonderful. So give me a couple. But Carlos Morales is a gentleman from Peru who does something called the Wheel of Death, which is as scary as it sounds, but he'll be fine. But it's this giant apparatus that comes into the Circus Flora ring and gets hoisted up, and then it's sort of like a Ferris wheel with a hamster wheel on the end of it. So it's spinning around and he's running around inside of it. It's pretty breathtaking.
Wow.
a couple named Amadeus Lopez and Ruby Quinn do aerial straps, but they, they're wonderful aerialists and it's strength and beauty. And then also they can hang from each other's teeth. So Amadeus holds Ruby up with a rope from his teeth, and she holds it by her teeth, and then they switch and she is able to hold him doing it. It's incredible. And I think any dentist listening, really need to come check it out, and maybe they have some future patients.
Right. I mean, I've not thought of mandibles being used in that way. Yeah. Cecil, how about you? What are you looking forward to?
Bringing to mind is Tercet, who is what's called a bounce juggler, which means bouncing balls. But she's unbelievable. Using sort of acrylic screens, she bounces against them. She's a beautiful juggler.
She's from Ethiopia and Ethiopian. Is the fastest bounce juggler in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. I'm a juggler, and I'm amazed at what she can do.
So how?
And she does it with such accuracy. She can do it, and I mean, it's amazing to see.
Right. Jack, how is it that you find all these acts? St. Louis knows Circus Flora very well. Do they come to you?
Sometimes, yes. We have within the circus community, I mean, certainly St. Louis knows Circus Flora very well, but so does the circus industry around the world and around the country. So and people know it as a great place to be. People know that our audience is warm and knows us and you know, by and large, I hope loves us and loves coming to see Circus Flora. And there's really such a great energy that you get in the Circus Flora tent, you know, as we build back and forth between the audience, between the performers. And, you know, I just think that we put a lot into the show to create that energy. Our whole team does a whole lot of work to make these performers look good. We have a 5-piece band that plays live original music, and it's all in support of those performers and making them present as well as possible. And I think our audience feels that. And then I think the artists feel that as well. So I think in general, and also St. Louis is a great place to be in the summer, so it's not that hard to entice people to come here. So we do get lots of performers who, you know, really want to come be at Circus Flora. We also go out and find them. We go to circus festivals, go see as many circuses as possible. Instagram, TikTok, you know, all of these different ways of finding people with such unique talents to come be a part of our show.
Right. So Cecil, I'll ask the last question of you. Is there anything that you've carried from past seasons into each new one that's kind of a good luck charm of sorts?
Actually, our producer and founder, David Balding, died suddenly. That's when Jack took over, and he wanted Jack to take over. They were in the process, but it happened much more suddenly than any of us expected. So his widow, Laura Balding, and Jack and I, every year, carry his ashes with the dirt, a piece of, but we have this little bag we keep everything in, and we implant it in the ring so that we pass him on.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And at the end of every season, you pick up some of the dirt and sawdust from this show and
it's a tradition. But
Jack Marsh is Circus Flora's artistic director and executive director, and Cecil McKinnon is the show's narrator, Yo-Yo the storyteller. Thank you for being here.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.